Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Saying welcome one, welcome all to the show today, especially our surrounding city and states, our country's near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press that number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on May. This is March. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. March 19th. 2023. All right, so let's get started with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get rolling right out with the old gospel show here. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus, and we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, as we have another gospel show. Lord Jesus, you gave us another day to praise you, to give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the breath that's in our lungs, Lord Jesus. And we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to first of all, take the wheel of this here show. Have your perfect will, your perfect way, Lord Jesus, especially in that life that is right now nearest hell. Help them, Lord Jesus, to come to you. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, no matter where they may be, no matter where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort and heal them, Lord Jesus, as you only can. Give them a special touch and raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the many wicked, rotten situations we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, teach us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. So welcome, everybody, to the Sunday Gospel Show as we get started here. And do we have six with us, Ruth?
Not yet. He'll probably be coming, though.
All right.
Pastor Bonnet's not here yet, either.
All right. Well, Sister Nikhil, could you give us an A, B, and C selection? Hopefully six will be with us by then. And we do appreciate her and all the work she does here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen.
I will be there. Special lady, that's for sure.
Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Lift your worship. just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is who you are. Want to be where you are. Somebody make that your prayer in this moment.
Amen. Amen. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, let's boogie for Jesus. Amen, amen. Now, do anybody know where that melody came from? Anybody know?
Not actually.
Anybody else? Come on, come on. Don't you all know music? Anybody?
Lenny, I know you played it before, and I think I've heard it on the air before.
I'm speaking of the melody of the song. We all know it. You all learned it. Nobody knows. Is it that you and Wolfgang on the line today? Because I think everybody else is not hearing.
No, we got Nikhil with us.
Okay, can she hear?
Yes, yeah, she's here.
Sick. Before we get into our next song, I was kind of waiting on you to do this. I didn't do our scripture reading. We did our opening prayer, but we didn't do our scripture reading just yet.
Okay.
So if you're ready, we'll do that.
Yes, sir.
He's
okay,
ready.
Here we go.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he came to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters' portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. This was 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. And I see that we got Pastor Bonnet with us, and welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Welcome, Pastor.
Welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, anointed, called by God. Kenneth Bonnet, all the way from Tennessee. And as we continue our series on stewardship, that's our series here for this month on the Six Eyes Radio Network, our series, Stewardship. Once again, welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
Amen. From West Angeles, Church of God in Christ.
Everybody in this voice,
invite you to worship with us right now. And you know the words of the song. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Hallelujah. In what you hear. See, God's not concerned about whether or not you can hit the note just right. But it's your heart right with him. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. It's all unto him that we do this. Come on, one more time now. Just worship God in your own way, in your own tone, right where you are in your home. Create a sanctuary for the Lord right there where you are. Let your home be somewhere God can abode. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So right where you are, make your room, your car, wherever you are listening, make it a sanctuary unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
From the fruit of your lips, tell God you love him. Tell God how much you appreciate him for being active in your life. He's active in our life because there's many things that could have happened to us, but he stopped it. Come on now. I love
you,
Lord. My Lord, you worship me, oh my soul. My soul rejoice. Come on, take joy, my King. And what you hear, and what you hear, and let it be. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Amen. Amen. That's how we just worship God and honor God regardless of what's going on in our life. We honor God by opening up our mouth and telling him thank you, telling him how much we love him. Some of us went all week long without even saying, God, thank you for raising me up this morning. Thank you that my name made the walk list. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave me a reasonable portion of health and strength. Some of us have not even laid, before we laid down last night, we didn't tell God, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for keeping me all day long. Some of us didn't open up our Bibles until just this moment when it's time to open up our Bibles now. Some of us did not have that relationship with God. So we are indebted to him because we owe him. We owe him this every day. Why? Because he's been good to us every day. He's been with us every day. He is not the God of Sunday. Glory to God. He is not God of Saturday, but he's God of every day. He's God of every moment, every hour, every minute, every second. And we are to worship him as our God and Lord and King. Amen, somebody. We're in stewardship. We read earlier that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. All of this belongs to him. Amen. And since it belonged to him, let us take care of what belonged to him. You know what's funny about that is, you know, when a car don't belong to some of the young people, when we see when they go to zipping around, they got a $5 car, and they go to zipping around in and out, and just driving it any kind of way. Usually, they had nothing to do with the pavement. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it was either their parents or something given to them. And because they didn't have to put in the effort, the work effort, to save up the money, to pay the car note, they did not have an appreciation for it. So they drove it like they wanted to, to impress somebody for whatever reason going on in their mind. Sometimes we treat God the same way. We drive around crazy, living reckless lives, doing any and everything, thinking just because we ask God to come into our life one time, we can do any and everything with these bodies. But I read it in the Bible, and I know it because I read it for my oneself. The word says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present your bodies holy and acceptable, a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow. My reasonable service. Not nothing difficult, not nothing too hard to ask for, but my reasonable service. That means God expects for me to manage this vessel he's given me. You and I, we are made of flesh and blood, but we abide within these bodies, but we are spirits. We're abiding in these bodies, so it's our job to manage them. Amen. Many times our real fight with the world is not against the haters of the world, but so much we fight against ourselves. We fight against the thing that we know to do, but we don't do. We fight against the habits that we know that's not good for us, but we still do it. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. We all have some habits, some can't help it that we do, and when we do it, then we say, oh, man, I don't know why I keep doing that. So our fight, our enemy, is the enemy. So God has to help us to overcome that. How do he do that? He do that by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to rest, rule, and abide within us. And so our bodies is the temple. Do you go to church and throw chewing gum down on the ground and paper on the ground? Some may, because they don't honor the temple of God. But can you imagine the things that we done thrown down and stuck to our own soul that don't need to be stuck to us, that don't need to be trashing us? And that's what that gospel would do, trash in, trash out. And so we have to be mindful, my brothers and sisters. We have to be mindful that we belong to God. We belong to God. Hopefully this morning, this afternoon, I'm speaking to someone that is a born-again believer. Hopefully I'm talking to someone who has already said yes to God in their spirit. Hopefully I'm talking to somebody that understands that the wages of sin is death. So if sin is how I live, death will be my paycheck. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Many of us are observing the Lenten season where we're honoring God with daily worship, whether it be 3 to 5 minutes every day where we're reading the word, reading the scripture, encouraging our hearts and our mind and our spirit man that Christ overcame death on our behalf. Amen. This is why we can follow him. This is why we can listen to him, because he has shown us true victory. Before him, there was no defeating in death. All before him, except 2, had died. Amen, somebody. All before him, except 2, have died. I might ask you the names of those 2, see if you know. Amen. But all before him have died. They met death. Amen. And when death came at his door, it had no access until he became sin for our behalf. He took on our sin. And he endured death on the cross on our behalf. Talking about stewardship. It was him who obeyed the Father, because that was the plan to get you and I saved, sanctified, delivered. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So because
what he did on the cross, we now have the right to cry, Abba, Father. Not just God, not just creator of the universe. Nah, but we can call him Daddy. Amen, somebody. We have that access. Why? Because we have taken the spirit of adoption. Amen. And that spirit of adoption have claimed us as his own. Amen. So we have a Father, and that word Father means source. We have a source, not resources. Amen. He's the source to every resource. Amen. And so because he's the source to every resource, whatever we need in our life, when we put him first, that need comes. Amen. Some of us say, well, I ain't got this yet. I ain't got that yet. Well, what are you doing now? Some of us don't have some of the things that we're asking God for because we haven't made good use of what God has already given us. We haven't been faithful steward over the little thing. So why should he entrust something greater to us if we ain't been faithful with the little? We must be found faithful over the little things. We can't ignore the little things and then think that God is going to hold us accountable and trustworthy to manage the greater and bigger things. Mm-mm. No, ma'am. No, sir. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't send your four-year-old child to the store to buy a single can of soda with a $100 bill because you know within yourself that child going to give that $100 bill to the cashier and take the soda and walk out without any change. Amen. And if you told them don't leave before they got change, they may leave with the coins, but leave the bills on the counter. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. But that's all right. So just like you as a responsible adult, a parent, would not put responsibility on a young child that they are not ready for, so our Heavenly who sees all, knows all. And so we must understand the scriptures are true. It's right, whether we like it or not. It's time for the word on today. Amen, amen, amen. And so in our word today, our subject matter is a winning steward. Amen. A winning steward. What does it mean to be a winning steward? Well, we already know the definition of a steward, one that keepeth another's property, organization, one that manages, one that governs. Amen. So we have already established that word stewardship. And so as a steward, that's the individual. What make you a winner? What make you a winning steward? Well, first of all, what make you a winning steward is the drive to win. A drive to win. That means an inward desire not to lose. An inward desire to accomplish that which you set out to do. Now, most of us that love sports, we know, and most of our sports where there's two opposing teams, each desiring to win. We know that unless there's allotted a tie, that at the end of the game, there must be a winner and a loser. What determines whether or not one team will win over the other team? Well, for the most part, it is not necessarily, quote-unquote, in the capability of one team or the other team having greater ability or strength than the other. Mm-hmm. It comes down to whether or not one team was prepared to win greater than the other. In other words, if you don't know how that team plays their game and understand how you must play your game in order to win against the opposing team, then they will have the upper hand, and instead of winning, you will suffer loss. Some of us say, know your enemy. why is it important to know your enemy? Because if you don't know your enemy, then the strategies of your enemy will catch you unaware, catch you off guard, throw you back, cause you to suffer loss, thereby giving them victory. But when you know your enemy, when you know the opposing team, you can prepare with the skill set that you have, not the skill set you don't have, but the skill set that you do have to win. Problem is, most of us think that God just gonna do everything. Yeah, we start prayers like, God, you do it. You just make us to win. Nah, we have a responsibility to act upon the strength that he's given me. Notice the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Not, I can do all things because Christ going to do it for me. No, it don't say that. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. In other words, Christ would give us strength, but we must follow through. Amen, somebody. Now, let me get into my text. All that I said is what I said just for you. But let's get into the text. To win anything, you must decide the side. Okay. One more time. In order to win anything, you must decide on a side. In other words, you got to know whether you're going to be on this team or that team. You got to know whether you're on that side or this side. In the game of tug of war, if you on that side, if you on the left side, you can't be pulling for the right because that will be pushing. But if you on the left side, that means you got to pull the right side to your side. And what we don't realize in the game of life, there's good and bad. There's godly and ungodly. They're right and they're wrong. There's no in between. And too often time we want to walk in between, but you can't do that and win. The in between are referees. In between on the field is the referee. The referee sets the are responsible to uphold the rules and regulations. So we can't walk in between. Those the angels are. To walk in between. That's God's job, to walk in between. Amen, somebody. Our job is to ensure that the team I'm on wins by giving my team all within me. A lot of times we don't want to give our teammates all within us because we feel for one reason or another, whether it be right or wrong, whether it be true or false, we feel that they're not doing as much as we're doing, so we're not going to give as much as we can give because we have governed what we give based on someone else. And any time you begin to live life like that, you can never win because when you don't understand what you do in the game matters whether or not you win or lose. Even in times of practice, I remember growing up in high school and training for cross country, and they used to tell me, "Buddy, why you running so hard?" And I would say to them, I say, "Man, if you don't run hard now in practice, how are you going to be able to run hard when the game?" I say, "So you got to practice hard so that you can run hard when it's time to run." Man, we ain't got to do all of that. And consequently, because I ran hard in practice, nobody's time that year was a minute close to my fastest time. A whole minute. We ain't running but 3 miles. That's all, just 3 miles. Because I gave my all, I was a full minute. So imagine if we take that same principle in sports, apply it to life, to winning. Many of us get married and don't understand what marriage is. And you want a husband, but you don't understand what it means to be a wife. You want a wife, but you don't understand what it means to be a husband. You want a business, but you ain't been on nobody's job faithful and help them make it. But then you want everybody to help you make it. So, back to the text, back to my first opening, is to win anything, you have to decide the side or team or group or company to stand with and to stand for. So you must make a conscious decision. What are you trying to win? Well, my brother, my sister, let me speak from my position. I want to win life. So when I look through the annals of time, I mean, look backwards to all those that came before me. Okay? And when I look back, there's only one recording. There's many recordings of people getting up from the grave, but they still died afterwards. There's only one recording of a man that went to the grave and got up and didn't go back because he had now power over it. To me, that tells me he's an undefeated warrior. And if I'm going to be on any team, I'm going to decide to be on his team. If I have the opportunity to choose what team that I can be on, and I do, I'm going to be on that team. Why? Because that team won what could be beaten. So since that team won, as of now, all my lifetime, I'm going to be on Team Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be on Team Jesus. Why? Because he won against death. Amen. Now, let me talk to my band. Why? My tailgate jumpers, those that like to keep jumping from one tailgate to want to jump from one band to the next. You know, this team doing good right now, so you riding with this team. That team start doing good, you ride with that team. You know, you just ride with whoever winning at the moment. My bandwagon jumpers, that's what they call them. Amen. To you ain't got no commitment to nobody. So you really can't really enjoy true victory because you're jumping here and you're jumping there and you're not stable. But to those that are committed, whether you win or lose, you stay with the team that you have decided to run with. So in spite of what it may look like, stay with Jesus. Now, I do have something to say about that, and that is I read the end of the book and I found out that he won anyway. And so it wasn't that I was so smart. It wasn't that I was so brilliant. It was just I realized if he gonna win anyway, why oppose him? Why not just get on his team and stay? No matter what it looked like. If he wins anyway, I'm going to stay on his team. And I'm going to uphold my position. And every now and then, I'm going to say, put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game, coach. Let me use the skills you gave me. Let me get back to my lesson. Amen. Amen. So you must decide what side you're going to be on. That's number one. You must learn the difference between winning and losing. The Bible said, what will a man exchange for his own soul? Or what does it profit a man, to gain the whole world and lose his own soul in hell? So what does it profit you to get all the money, to get all the girls, to get all whatever it is that you're going after? Your names and like, what does it profit you to get all of that of the world, but you still lose your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that doesn't profit you. Yeah, you may have them calling your name, but if they calling your name and your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what good is it? If they know your name and your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what good is it? If your bank, when you walk into the bank, they call you by your last name, Mr. So-and-so, and good to see you, and your soul is in danger of hellfire, what good is it? You got money to buy what you want to buy without checking whether or not you got enough for it. What good is it if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life? But, preacher, I don't know what that is. Well, then you are already in trouble, because to truly be saved is to know that he has added your name to his family book. I say his family, not a family. Now, some of us, we satisfied with getting our name on a church roll. Nah, that may have its place. But in eternity, that ain't going to do me no good. I know that's broken English, but that's all right. You understand what I meant. In eternity, your name being on the church roll is not going to benefit you if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means why all of them that seen Jesus celebrating their victory, you're going to be celebrating and suffering loss. You're not going to be celebrating, and you're going to be suffering loss. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11, lets us know these words. He said, Solomon, he said, I return and fall under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to them to the wise, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. What's time and chance? Somebody say day and night. At time and chance, day and night. It happens to us. In other words, all of us going to have some good days. But in the midst of having good days, we're going to have some dark nights. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of us going to have some days that the sun is shining, but the cloud going to come over and rain going to fall down. All of us going to endure. Why? Because he said, I rain on the just as well as the unjust. That means it doesn't matter whether you save or not save. God going to allow whom he wants to have money. God going to allow to whom he will allow to have riches. And it has nothing to do with whether or not they honor him, but it has everything to do with whether or not they allow those riches to flow. See, some of us, we're so saved, but we don't let nothing flow through us. We hear the good word of God preached to us, and we don't share it with nobody. And we wonder why we can't get no money, because we are stingy, and we don't know how to let the anointing of God flow. Money is called currency. The word currency means something that's moving. If a boat get caught in the current, it's moving from this spot to another. And when you learn that currency has to flow, you stop holding on so tight to things that need to move. Oh, I done got in a little trouble. That's all right. I'm going to preach anyhow. Amen. I'm going to preach anyhow. Habakkuk 2 and 2 tells us to write the vision. Make it plain. To write the vision. Vision. Not a vision. The vision. That means I have a responsibility to ask of God, what is it that you require of me? What is it, Lord? You know, we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read there that is moreover is required of stewards to be found faithful. So God needs to find us faithful, and how can I be working for somebody but don't check in with them? How could I be employed for someone, working for someone, and don't do what it is that they need done? How is it that I can come up with my own agenda, but this ain't mine? So unless my goal and my agenda, unless my idea comes to make this vision, whose vision? His vision, come to pass, then what I'm doing just well may be truly in vain. So I must pay attention. So I must make a plan. To me, this is basic understanding of what I am doing. In other words, I must make a plan. Why be married and have not a plan? Why be in a business and have not a plan? Why go to school and have not a plan? Why buy a vehicle and have not a plan? Even when you buy a vehicle, they already have the plan for the maintenance to be done for that vehicle. And whether you follow the plan or not is not their concern. If we made the vehicle, and here's the plan to keep it a long time. Here's the plan for your vehicle to win for you if you do this ever so often. At this point in time, do that. At that point in time, this is what needs to be done. If you go out, they don't need that, they don't need that, and then later on it comes to find out that this is a problem and that's the problem. They're going to look back through the history of your vehicle and say, well, did you manage it properly? Mm-hmm. They're going to check. Matter of fact, my son, his vehicle started having problems, and we had to put it in the shop, but we had insurance on it to cover certain parts that if it will have engine failures, so on and what have you, that the insurance will pay for certain things to be done to it. And all he would be responsible for is a deductible. Well, sure enough, as time would have it, the car failed. It started having engine problems where the engine would not perform like it should. And in the shop, once we got the policy active and they required the history of his maintenance, they said, if you had it this much time, we want to know, have you been doing the basics to keep it up? And sure enough, we had to get his records and show that he has done what was required in the time frame it was required. And once they were satisfied with that, they paid for it to get fixed and paid for all of it to get done. And so $4,000+ of work that he did not have to repair the vehicle, now it cost him something he could manage, which was $200. A lot of times we don't want to do the things that God is telling us to do, and then when big troubles come, now we expect miracles to take place when we've been ignoring our obligations and responsibility to win. Mm-hmm. You see, we must be found faithful in little things. Well, little things. And so if we're not faithful over little things, how can we be entrusted with greater things? Who will trust us to do more? So many times, what is even out? Many times, what or even who we are trying to win or build on, what we see and what we don't, takes time to look beyond the surface. We can't just think because someone got it going on that it happened to them overnight. Case in point, many people know of T.D. Jakes. But T.D. Jakes, long before his name became a household name, had been already ministering for a decade or two prior before his name ever got the recognition it has today. He had already been faithful. He had already been working towards what it is that he's doing now, and that you're saying, ooh-wee, he was already doing that. He ain't just started doing that. But we see it one day, and all of a sudden we want to be that wonder. We want to get everybody calling our name. But we ain't faithful to go to Sunday school.
I mean, what?
Bible study. We're not faithful with what God has already entrusted us. They said, we need a Sunday school teacher. And you know how to understand the Bible a little bit better than most. But you like, well, I don't want to teach nobody. They ask you because you show up for service all the time. And they say, well, listen, we don't have nobody that's faithful in proper attendance. So I need you to oversee this Sunday school class. And you won't do it because you afraid you're going to mess up. You afraid you're going to get tongue-tied. You afraid of this. You afraid of that. But God already given it to you to do. Plan of God. It's the plan of God on your side. And so you got to understand, God know how to position you for increase. You're fussing on your job because this ain't going right. But you don't know that the reason why you understand what's really going wrong is because God is preparing you for increase. He's preparing to move you. He's preparing for your elevation. But all you can do is gravitate to those naysayers and the complainers. And you're not realizing God has already given you what you need for the next level. You can't go backwards if you want to advance. You have to trust the plan that God has for your life. Amen, somebody. So many times, That happens to us because we don't know how to build on what we don't see. We try to build on what we are able to see. And what God is doing when in the life of Joseph, God chose Joseph. I'm going to make your brothers and sisters bow down to you. I'm going to make your father and your mother bow down to you. And he ain't understanding. He just told it. And his brothers are being much older than him, much more strength than he had, figuring they had more capability, figuring they are the next in line for leadership of the family, this and that. Say, man, who you think you are? Look down on him, talk bad about him, and use that to do harm to him, to do wrong by him. But that was the very thing that elevated him. And although he went from age 17 to age although he went from age 17 to age 30 before things began to manifest themselves, he had to be found faithful to what God has placed in his hand. Sometimes we want everybody to see what we see. And we cry to God that they don't join the bandwagon. We cry to God because they're not supporting, they're not being helpful, and they're our family members. But Joseph's family sold him. How much? Now, the only worst you can do is to kill it. But they sold him. But little did they know that all they was doing was transitioning him or pushing him to his promise. That's why the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginning. So Joseph went to Egypt, a foreign land, people speaking a different language, and a people of a different culture, and he learned the culture. He learned the language, and he grew. And because of his presence, his perseverance, what he touched grew. And his work of excellence kept causing him to rise up in ranks, and favor was on his life. Even when the lies and the scandals came, favor was still on his life. And you got to understand that they're going to lie on you. They lied on Jesus. They're going to talk about you. They talked about Jesus. Get over it. I think that might be a little insensitive. No, that's just straightforward. Get over it. Get over it. I'm not going to tell you it ain't going to hurt. If you fall and bump your knee, cut your knee, it's going to hurt. If you get stuck in the eye with something, it's going to hurt. Yes, it hurts, but time heals. And what time can't do, God will. But you got to let it. Get over it. Because all you know is that may be the groundwork to build you up. All you may know is that's the struggle you need to understand so that you can help others. Get over it. There's many injustices in this world. And because men and women have free will, there's a lot that could be done. There's a lot that can be done. And so anything could happen to us. And that's why it's so important for us as born-again believers, to stay in the grace of God, stay in the mercy of God, stay in the covering of God, stay in the will of God, because if we step outside of the will of God, that means the attack of the enemy that God would have blocked may not be blocked, not because God wasn't able, because we stepped from up under the umbrella and now we wet. See, the scripture that says God will never leave us means I'm going to be the same today, yesterday, and forever. That has no bearing on your personal choice to stay with God and to walk with God and to trust God. Tomorrow you could say, man, I don't believe, and go a whole nother way. The covering that you would have had by being with him, you walk from up under it. You walk from under it. Brother Preet, the Bible says, who have bewitched you that you should believe a lie?
In other words, there's witches and warlocks out there trying to get you off track with God. Why? Because they can't stop the plan of God for your life, only can trick you into not obeying the plan of God for your life. Because the only way your blessing can truly be hindered is when you don't obey God, when you don't trust God, when you no longer believe that he's able. The devil has no authority and no power to stop you from doing what God has for you. He can send all the demonic spirits at you. But when God has you covered, nothing can happen to you without his permission. Ask Job. Job was completely covered. Covered so much, when God suggested Job, the devil, in one turn, the devil laughed like, what, really, huh? All that around him, man, I can't even get close to him. Move on, preacher, move on. Thank you. My first step for joining Team Jesus, the question why join Team Jesus? And I told you that, because he overcame death. Because he loved me first. He loved me in spite of me. He loved me even when I was unlovable. Now, all of us can, if we told the whole truth, we can name some times in our lives when we truly didn't love ourselves because of the stuff we've done. And if somebody would have done it, what we've done, we wouldn't have had no emotional attachment to them neither. But in spite of us, he still yet loved us. He still yet called us. He still yet has purpose for each of us. That's why the gifts and calls of God is without repentance. That means before repentance even came, God had a plan for your life and mine. And what God wanted to do in your life and mine, it had nothing to do with what, quote unquote, I wanted to do. It has everything to do with before he formed me, he knew me. He had already ordained me for the purpose in which he ordained me for. That means without any degree, with any scholarship or any this, that, or the other of education, the plan that God has for me, it may involve me going to get more education. It may involve me studying better. But long before all of that, it was already established for me by him. Now, I had to work. I had to develop. I had to grow. So he won against death. Therefore, I want to be on his winning team. Learn what I can bring to the table. My process here is now I must learn what I bring to the table. Many people may want to be a part of this or that because of their previous accomplishment. When you think about sports, the scouts go out, and when they're looking for people to come and join their college or join their pro team, they begin to talk about their accomplishments, what they have done. They continue on with what they can provide. Mm-hmm. They talk about their resources. They talk about not only their achievements and their resources, but what it can do for you in the future. One of our problems as Christians today is we keep telling people about heaven, and we keep preaching the gospel only about heaven. You need to be saved so you can go to heaven. You need to be saved so you can go to heaven. And we do so much preaching on going to heaven and talking about the street paved of gold to the average person that's trying to make a living, take care of their family. They say, that's fine and dandy, but what about now? And so we don't do a lot of teaching on when Jesus said, he said, I have come that you may have life. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, was he talking about the eternal life in heaven? Or was he talking about life here on earth? Without a shadow of a doubt, I know he was talking about the here and now. Because as he began to move around and teach others, he kept empowering them with his word on how to live now. Why his message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What that means? That means God's way of doing things is available. It's present. It's now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience God's blessing. God desires to bless us here and in the now. It's not a prosperity gospel. It is just the gospel. It is just the truth of God's word. It doesn't mean we're not going to have stormy days. It doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times, because I told you already, every time of a day, they're coming a night. Matter of fact, when you go back and read scripture, the Bible said the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the next day. The evening and the morning. So every time we saw day, there was night. So before you and I accepted Christ, we was in the nighttime. And now that we have accepted him, we're living in the daytime. But in the natural, there's going to be some nighttime occasions. And we going to have to know how to govern ourselves in our night season. That's why it doesn't matter how much you go to church, no matter how much gospel you have. If you haven't learned how to be a good steward, you're going to suffer loss. That's why we have the text in Matthew 25 talking about the five, talking about the 10 virgins, five of them wise and five of them foolish. They were foolish because they ignored the information that was already made available to them. What information that was made available to them? We're not sure of the exact time the groom is coming, but he's coming. It may take a while, so take with you all. And those that was wise said, well, I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm going to take all I can. The five that was foolish said, oh, man, this might do it. And because they didn't consider they may need more, they didn't take more. And then when the groom showed up, they wasn't able to turn their light up. And the reason why some Christians are burned out, they're not able to turn their light up because they didn't take enough with them in this journey. They didn't think that they need this much word. They didn't need, they just figure, well, a little Jesus, a little dab will do you. No, sir, no, ma'am. With all the demonic oppression and forces working in this world today, you need all the Jesus you can, and you need to can all the Jesus that come your way. And that's why many people suffer when you think that you can compare, because you go to practice one day a week, but he practices 5 and 6 days a week. You think your skill set going to be at theirs? I don't care how good that you is.
Your gift may carry you, but your stamina won't keep you. Another way to say that, your gift may put you in front of folk, but your character will run them away from you. So when your attitude ain't right, your altitude can't stay high. So I must learn what I bring to the table. So in other words, I got to be examining my, I got to test to see what I can bring to the table. Here's the benefit of going to church and being active in church programs and church committees. It's because you get an opportunity to try to see if you fit there and try to see if you fit here. It gives you the opportunity. One of the things I loved about one of my earlier jobs in my 20s was when I worked for a company called Winn-Dixie, grocery company. But the grocery company had many departments. And so after my first year, I moved to management, and I was the floor manager. And then as the floor manager, my job was to take care of making sure the floors were clean and shining and all of that. Had the best floors. Walking my store, the floor looked wet. It would shine so good. But in the midst of that, I learned how to unload trucks. So they had me teaching those coming along to unload the truck. So before the stock crew would come in, I was over the unloading crew. Still the floor manager. Later on, as that transition took place, then I became the stock manager. Got injured, took some time. Then they put me in another management position that was more suitable for what I was doing. So I was able to keep learning. The same company, just different office. Still the responsibility of making sure that the company was getting increase. Oh, yeah, because we had meetings that if your department wasn't making a profit, we had to talk about why. And the problem is, as church people, we don't talk about why we're not winning souls. We don't talk about why we're not growing in God. We don't talk about why we're not developing in our home. We rather listen to television and the talk show program that's telling us how to live and how to do this and how to do that. We rather listen to them who are in the world. But I like this song. I like this song. I heard my brother say it earlier today, and this is one of his favorites, and I have to agree with him. Song number one, verses one and two, just verses one. It says, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Wait a minute, preacher. It says, blessed is, not blessed will be, not blessed could be, but blessed is. That means when you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, God has already decreed a blessing for you. Simply because you haven't listened to their foolishness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. Are you in the Word of God? Think about the Word of God as you're thinking about advancing in life. That's why Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. We have to learn how to put things in their proper perspective. That's my step two. So my step one was deciding to let Jesus be the Lord of my life and decide I'm going to be Team Jesus all the way. Not halfway, but all the way. I'm going to ride with him. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Then my second step was positionally, I began to seek the kingdom of God. Not just me a big house and a big car. Not just a pretty wife so I can have pretty kids. The will of God for my life. Yeah, fortunately for me, yeah, my wife do look good. And I do have good-looking kids. Amen, amen, amen. Because I ain't bad-looking myself. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. But we must be found faithful as good stewards. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 4:2. A man must be found faithful. We must be found faithful. We must be found faithful. Wherever you at, what status you in, be faithful there. Learn to be committed there. Be 100. If you are helping somebody do something, do it with your whole heart. Or don't do it at all. Don't live a hypocritical life. I know y'all don't like that word. But don't live a hypocritical life. I didn't agree with some of the things that my former company did as a corporate policy. Didn't agree with those things. But it had no bearing on when I punched that clock, how much effort I put forth to making sure that my job was done efficiently, timely, had enough. Because I know that ultimately, no matter whom I work for, I'm still working for the Lord. Same way with my personal business. I realize that although I'm trying to build my name, at the end of the day, when they connect my name to Christ, I need them to be able to say he represented Christ well. He represents what it is to have a Christian man working for you, doing some work for you. Ain't no sense of me doing something. Now, it don't mean you won't ever make mistakes. It don't mean you won't ever get something wrong. I'm quite sure that there may be one or two out there that may say, well, he did okay. He did okay. But for the most part, the testimony going to be, and I know it's going to be because I checked. Oh, yeah. You need to check. You need to check the waters. If Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You and I need to be checking the waters to say, who do people really think of me? How do people really think of me? And get out of yourself thinking, because if all you do is cry and whine, that's what they think of you. And when they tell you, don't be shocked. Don't think they're talking bad about you. That's what you gave them. You're going to be what you gave. In fact, that's how you remember you by what you did, especially what you did last. Now, you could mess up one time, and all the other times you've been good, they'll fly. They say everybody deserves a bad day. But you let it happen again and again. After a while, they're going to say, oh, something doesn't happen to them. They ain't like they used to be. They used to be all right, but something done happened. But the same way, if you used to be a wretch, if you used to be the one that showed up to all the family gatherings drunk and starting trouble, and all of a sudden you the one showing up sober, speaking well, greeting everybody, hugging everybody, loving on everybody. And when they say, what happened? And you guys always say, God did it. But how he did it? He did it. Sometimes you ain't got to get all the information. You ain't got to justify all of that. Let them see. The Bible said, let your light so shine. It didn't say give description of your light. What's so amazing to me, many times I can go to certain places and don't nobody know me. And somebody say, excuse me, are you a preacher, a minister or something? And I say, what make you say that? They say, just something different about you. I ain't going to tell you no lie. Because I had to tell the Lord, I said, ooh, God, I began to tingle on the inside. That made me feel good because I didn't even open up my mouth. But my life was in a condition where they saw the shining of it, and it was different from the other light that was in the room, that they recognized the presence of God in my life. Oh, that made me feel good. I ain't no sense of me telling you nothing else wrong. And I ain't no sense of me telling you nothing else. That's the whole truth, the gospel truth, and I gave God the glory because I said, thank you, Lord, that your glory can shine in me that folk can see. That's what the Bible says. Let this light shine in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us, he tells us that when we let the light of God shine on the inside of us and men see our good work and glorify God. What kind of work? Good. And he called it work, not deed. That means God got the glory from it. Let me get into my text. Let me get back into my text. Amen. We see over in John chapter. What time I got? All right, I'm going to take about 5-10 more minutes. Glory to God. And we see over in John chapter 9, amen. St. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus himself said, I must work the work of him that sent me. If we're to have the mind of Christ, we must understand, we must work the work of God who sent us. That's right. We are being sent into the world to do work. We're not saved by work, but we are saved to do good works so that we can. That's why the Holy Spirit is in us, to guide us and to lead us into all righteousness. And what is more righteous than to do and obey the will of God concerning our lives? And we must understand it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in it. And so my brother, my sister, he left you and I here with the Holy Ghost. So we are the continuation of that light. We're that reflection of that light. That light leads out of darkness. That light shines into darkness and pulls one out of darkness. So we must ask ourselves, are we doing what we need to do to win? So we must not allow fear to stop us from obeying God. I'm going to say that again. We must not allow fear. Acronym for fear is fear is F-E-A-R, is information appearing real. An acronym for faith, F-E-A-R, is false information appearing real. So we must not allow the lies of the devil to fool us, to trick us, to believe it over what God has said. St. John chapter 13, verse number 35. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If, conditional, if you have loved one to another. The way a quarterback knows his linemen love him is that they do all that they can, even if it means they get hurt, to protect him from being tackled by the opposing team. Sometimes we have to give our whole body. We have to give all of our effort, all of our strength in protecting someone else. That's why if you have a pastor, don't you let nobody talk about your pastor bad. No. Tell them if they ain't got nothing good to say about your pastor, get them out your mouth. Well, I heard. No, you ain't heard nothing. Whatever you heard, it was a lie. Because let me tell you something. Pastors are people too. And if you can make a mistake, so can your pastor. But guess what? Your pastor is teaching you, or should be, that God will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. And the same God that forgave you for your foolishness will forgive him. I don't care how he messed up. If your pastor messed up, pray that God would get him back right. Pray that God will deliver him from whatever he messed up in. Why? Because no chain is stronger than its weakest link. You know what's so unique about a team is every team got on the same colors. The colors we wear are red because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that red stands for the blood of Christ,
the spirit of love that he has for all of us. And when we look at that spirit, we see it in Galatians 5:22. And it tells us that since we have on the same uniform, we are to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I know you don't want to hear that one, but long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And here's the beauty of it. The Word of God says, against these things, there is no law. Wow. There's no law to govern you from loving people. There's no law from you having joy in your heart. There's no law to keep peace away from you. There's no law that says you can't go through suffering a little long time. There's no law that says you can't be gentle. There's no law that stops you from being and showing goodness. There's no law that stops you from having faith in God. There's no law from keeping you from being meek towards others. There's no law for keeping you from managing your temperament. Those things are not governed by the laws that the children of Israel had to be governed by, because they had done grew up in a way with people and adapted their customs. There's no law against these things, because when we uphold those things, truly, then we are operating in the Spirit of God like he wants us. I want to tell everybody, not only do you have access to heaven now, if you're saved, before you leave this world, what God wants to bestow in your life is complete love. He wants to give you total joy. He said he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. He desires for you to always find peace. Long suffering for those of us that have to go through certain illnesses and certain challenges with raising children of illnesses or raising loved ones or taking care of a loved one, God will give you strength to endure that long suffering. Those that are growing up in impoverished neighborhoods and communities and countries, God will teach you how to survive and live even in the midst of the drought that or in the midst of the climate or the condition that you're in. He know how to bring peace in the midst of whatever you're in and bring provision for you. Gentleness, he know how to give you to be gentle and yet still firm. God ain't raising up no wimps. He don't mean for you to cower out. He don't mean for you to be nobody punching bag. Absolutely not. Nobody doormat. And if you feel those things, then you are not operating under this fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
That's something else. So goodness, faith, he's given to everyone a measure of faith. It's up to you to let that faith grow. It's up to you to cultivate that faith and let it mature. Meekness and temperance. You must control yourself. Before you could tell others about self-control, control you. Control your attitude. Control your behavior.
Amen.
And watch God just bless you to win. A winning steward. There's one who have made the conscious decision to be faithful on the side of Team Jesus and to do what they know to do, that he has given them to do, and to learn all that he has for them. Study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is the word you've given me for your people today. I pray that it will manifest itself in their lives. I pray that as the word sink in, let it germinate, let it grow, let it develop, and then give them the boldness on how to repeat it, how to recycle it. And as you do it, Father God, we say thank you. It is in your Son Jesus' name we give you glory, honor, and praise. We love you today. Amen and amen.
Amen. I even think Chipper got the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Chipper.
Well, the Bible does say, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord.
Well, he just prayed. He just prayed. He just praised the Lord. And he got the word. I heard it. Amen, Chipper. I'll let Chanel hear this rewind. You see, get the word too. Amen. Well, that was a great message, Pastor. As always, want to thank you. If you just joined us, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show here every Sunday when you get your prayers on without leaving the house. We do appreciate you. Tell a friend about the Six Eyes Radio Network. Tell a friend about the Six Eyes Gospel Show. And if you missed this, whether you listen later on today or in the week, take these nuggets home with you. Our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you for that powerful message. Takeaway is just keep working, stewardship, and don't judge. Don't judge. You know, they say people live in glass houses, don't throw stones, so can't none of us throw stones? And just keep working on that self. That's it. So that's my takeaway. Praise God.
Amen. And my takeaway, there's actually three of them for today's message. First off, he was talking about his days doing track and field. Pastor Bonnet, first off, what was your fastest time for the mile or maybe the 2 mile?
It was 3 miles, and my fastest time was like 15:32 or something like that. It was pretty fast. 15. That means in 3 miles, I was running each mile in about five minutes. Now my fastest mile time was like a low 4 minutes. Right now by itself, I used to run the mile and the 880. I actually broke record unofficially in the 2 mile relay. I broke the 880 record for the juke. I ran it in the junior high was 2 minutes and 18 seconds. I ran it in 2 minutes and 6 seconds. So, now, good.
Well,
let me ask you a question. So, when you're running in a race, okay, when you hear that starting pistol, that's when you start running? And what are they measuring you're running by?
All right. You run it at the pistol is the start. And that's the start of the time. And depending on what the distance is, that's what you're running. In track and field, you had the 100, you had the 220, and you had the 440. And the 100 was the length of one side of the track. Then you had the 220, which was literally just half the track. They would start on the opposite side of the track and run to the start line, which would be the finish line, because the start line and the finish line are the same. And they start in a position there. And then you will have the 440, which was one complete lap around the track. The whole track. That was a sprint. Now, those you will sprint. And then the 880, which would be 2 laps around the track. And then the mile, which would be 4 laps around the track. And then when we did cross country, It will be a depending on where it is. It was an outline. It was an outline route that allowed us to run to leave the stadium from where we were, to run through neighborhoods or what have you, and whether it had fields or flats. We had to run those areas. Some of them, if you have a big enough venue, it will be running around that venue. And then we will end up probably running either a half lap or a lap around the truck.
You're fading in and fading out, Pastor. Your sense is fading in and fading out.
That's probably my voice. So excuse me. So you will run in and out. It was always marked. So, but those were the things that we did, and the time would stop once you crossed the finish line. If you were running a relay, your time would start from the time you received the baton and until the time that you either handed it off to the next person or you crossed the finish line if you were the anchor.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you a question. So when the starting pistol goes off, that's when you start running. After they shoot the starting pistol, you start running. But from the time
correct.
You start running, is there like a clock that's going? Is it counting down? Or I mean, how does it – is it counting down or is it counting –
It's counting up. Not
it counts,
counting
up.
Yeah. Okay. Always counting up because it's recording how long. And so when you cross the line, the finish line, your time is recorded and the clock is still running until the last person has finished the line.
And let me ask you this. When you had to run outside those venues, I want you to be honest. Did you actually run it? Did you hail a taxi? All right, drop me off right here and continue the route? Did you actually finish the route?
Nah, I ran pretty good. For me to be a short fella, I had a good long stride because I used to practice running on train tracks, and my goal was to have a stride long enough to hit the wood. So it taught me how to have a real good long stride, and it was about being relaxed in the stride. So it was all a technique. Everybody had a technique on what made them comfortable in running.
I challenge you to a race, dude. When you get up here. We're going to be in a closed area. We're going to be in a closed area, so I won't run into anything, and I want to challenge you to a race. You and Wolfgang for that matter.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
actually, let's say it this way. Had I had the physical body that I had back when I was in high school, Pastor Bonnet would be right on each other's heels, and it would make an interesting race because I had the same speed he was talking about. But this day and age with my heart condition, I wouldn't even try it. But now I'm being honest. I'm not saying that I'd beat him, but it would be a real close race because according to what he's talking about his time for a mile, I'd be right on top of him and it'd make an interesting race who'd come across the finish line. And speaking of the training that he was talking about, how you trained and you wanted to do your best during training rather than with the practice and everything. Our coaches, I don't know if your coach did this, Pastor Bonnet, but while we were practicing, what he'd do is to get us to slow down, he'd hook us up to this sled, and then he'd make us pull it. So because I was the long-distance runner for the 2 miles, he'd hook me up to that sled and make me run the 2 miles and slow me down quite a bit to do the same 2 miles. And you're pulling this sled with actual barbell weights loaded on it. So it'd slow you down, but when you were actually ready to run your actual races in competition and you're not pulling weight, you were ready to fly.
Yeah, right. We had 5 pound ankle weight. 5-pound ankle weights just made it heavier. So if you practice with the 5-pound ankle weights, what it did is strengthen your ankle and strive. In long distance running, you need strong ankles because that's where your strength comes from. So I did a lot of running on my toes and a lot of exercise on my toes, not letting my heel touch the ground. And that what made me so effective, even with the weights. When we would use weights, trying not to let my heel touch the ground. And so when you would take those off, you have a lot of strength. Even in the short runs, taking off, we had a certain way to take off in our takeoff, what we used to call dig in or drive, and taking off even for the short run. Every technique in sports, you know, is about a plan and executing the plan and learning the plan and repeat it. Watch, rinse, and repeat. And so in life, it's the same way for us, that if we're going to be successful at something, we need, number one, a plan to succeed. Failure to plan is actual a plan to fail. I'm going to say that one more time. I meant to say that earlier. Failure to plan is actually the plan to fail. Because if you don't have a plan on winning, then how can you win? And we can't just live life hoping and wishing we'll win, and when God has given us intellect on how to win. We have to decide how to go forward. And we can't just base everything on what we see. We must dig in and look beyond the surface and to see what does it really take. You know, a boxer, I trained boxing growing up when I was in my young teens. And as I was training, we had to learn, number one, the techniques. And learning the techniques, then you have to learn the rules. And after learning the rules, then you have to apply all of that. And then something that a lot of people don't want, then you got to be opposed. In other words, somebody got to hit you. In football, you had to be tackled. You can't say you want to run the ball, but you're scared to be tackled. One of the things that probably made me being able to run like I was in the neighborhood because I didn't want to be tackled. But my coaches realized you got speed, you got strength, but I need to know that you can take a lick because you can run all you want to, but if you can't take a lick, you're not going to be able, you're not going to last in this. And so he would tell me to run up the hole, and the hole wasn't blocked, and I would run somewhere else and go further. And he would suddenly, Barnett, what? I told you to run up the one hole. It was blocked. He says, I don't care. Do what I say do. Why? Because he understood that I had to learn how to overcome resistance. And so many of us, we run. We see the devil coming at us, and we run the other way. You know, the children of Israel, their journey really was had God took them the first way, it would have took them 2 weeks. Going the way they went, journey was only supposed to take them 40 days. But because of their disobedience, because of their hardheadedness, because of their stubbornness to just obey God, trust God, because of that, it took them 40 years. It took them 40 years to go 40 days up the road. And that 40 days easy with wagon, women, children, livestock.
Wow.
But because of their foolishness, because of their stubbornness, because of them not even God, because of them doubting God, because of their complaining, Moses, we ain't got nothing to eat. We ain't got nothing to eat. Moses, this water ain't sweet. Moses, did I? And they constantly complain. And it wasn't as bad as them just complaining, but every time they complained, they wished back for slavery. They wished to go back under oppression. They wished to go back to the place where they were praying to be delivered from. It's a bad thing. It's a slap in God's face for God to deliver you out of crack and then you still want it. I ain't saying the craving won't come, but that's what you must overcome. You must tell the craving, hey, we delivered from you. Yeah, you may always be part of my life here and there, but we ain't ever going back. You are part of the past. You are history. And we're going to keep you that way. You see, those that have gone through broken relationships, you've been in an abusive relationship, and you should make up in your mind, hey, I ain't taking no more licks.
Amen.
Period. And you have to have that made up mind. Oh, no. No, you ain't hitting me.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't hitting me. You ain't putting your hands on me. You got to have a made up mind not to go back from where God has delivered you from. And concerning the law. That's why in the New Testament it says, be ye not entangled again into the yoke of bondage. It wasn't the law was wrong. It was because they kept doing wrong had the law had to be written.
Mm-hmm.
They simply obeyed two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Had they obeyed those two teachings, two renderings, the Mosaic law would have never had to be written.
So you said it took them 40 years to do what they could have done in 2 weeks?
It took them 40 years to do a 40-day journey.
Wow.
Because of hard hit and stubbornness.
And because they wouldn't, he had to take them the long way, because if he'd have took them the short way, they could have done in 2 weeks, but they would have had to fight. And we know that because of the ten testimonies of the 12 spies, that the 10 that came back, what the Bible called it, an evil report.
Mm-hmm.
Only two, Joshua and Caleb, only two had the report, man, we can win this. We can do this.
Excuse me real quick, please. We are in the bonus hour. Thank you so much.
All right. So we are now down in the basement. Who's frying chicken in the basement? And I had chicken for the show.
I'm going to go trying to eat now. I'd be home. Y'all playing. I'm going to go use this. I love this little air fryer that does the air frying, the bacon, and all that. It got all the mother functions to it. But I just like it because it's quick.
Like a wet bonnet? You know what, Pastor Bonnet? So I pretty much got the air fryer down packed now. I got my little bump dots on there. And
okay.
I have yet to, so I want to broil a breast and broil some wings, see how that turns out. And I haven't used that rack. What's that thing? It looks like a thimble, like the lottery wheel?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you put in there?
You can do a rotisserie in that, or the hooks, the spikes that lock into on the fries and it keep it turning. So you could do a roast like that, and roast your, if you want to do a roast, and you could put that pork roast in there. Instead of trying to tie the rope,
that's a little bad.
Yeah, but you ain't but one person. How much you gonna eat?
That's true.
Bonnet, I'm gonna if you don't mind, I'm gonna send him down there with you so you can give him some lessons.
Well, pretty good cook. Pretty good cook.
No, well, I wasn't done with my takeaways yet.
I'm sorry, Ken.
Okay.
Go right.
Second point I was going to make was he was mentioning forgiveness, but he didn't get too deep into that. I think it's because he knows that on the last Thursday of this month, on the 30th, we're all getting into that very topic that he was talking a little bit about, the forgiveness between like you and me, if there's a problem, being forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he didn't get too deep into that. So I want to invite everybody to that show the last Thursday, the 30th of March here on the Truth of the Matter show here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. And the final point, he was talking about our team colors. Pastor Bonnet, you missed two colors on our team colors. You mentioned red, but you forgot two.
All right. Enlighten us.
Well, you said red for the blood of Christ, but you forgot white for the righteousness of saints and gold for the royalty of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I like how you guys support one another. You know, y'all hold each other up, and that's the good thing with two men of God. That's a beautiful thing, you know. And you see, when you come here to the 6 Hours Radio Network, you get to praise them without leaving the house. Now, if you are on social media, that means if you have a Facebook page, share this show with your friends. All right, thank you, and bring them next week. Bring them next week. Bring them Monday. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific, for Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Start your week off right with the 6 Hours Radio Network, Motivational Monday. And if you haven't done so already, go join the 6 Hours Radio Network page, the 6 Hours Radio Network group. Go join. J-O-I-N, just type in 6 Hours, space, radio, space, network, group, and join. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night we'll deal with a plan to win. We'll deal with that, the winning plan. Amen. We'll go further into detail. We're going to give you a strategy on how to win. We started that. The first step was to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, so being Team Jesus. That's the first of winning. Amen. That was your very first part. And your second part is understanding your what you can bring to the table. Amen. We already know what Jesus can bring because he brought it already. We know what Jesus can do because he did it already. Now it's important for us to understand what we can do and then do that. Amen. And we're going to talk about a few things on that note on tomorrow night. Again, all month long, we're dealing with stewardship. Amen. And what it means to be a steward in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, If you take any time to go back and listen to any of these lessons on stewardship, it's going to bless your relationship with God. It's going to help you to grow in God. Some people say, it don't take all of that. Challenge you to ever need brain surgery. And the little R, not the R-E-N, what's the first one? The C, is it C-A?
The CNA,
not the RN, the CNA, the first, the LPN, yeah.
Okay.
No, whoever on the bottom level, let
SCNA. That's the SCNA.
the CNA, let the CNA come in there talking about they're going to use the scalpel on your head. You say, hold up now, your job is to take the blood. Wait a
Wow.
I mean, jumped off the table.
Look, you listen, you're going to tell the anesthesiologist, take this out of my mouth, get this off my nose. They
I ain't
going to check.
Nothing. I'm jumping with it all on if
yeah,
I have
they're going to tell you, they're going to say, hey, don't you have faith in God? They're going to tell you, hey, you're going to be all right.
Now, so if a little dab will do you, you let that person who got little education about something that takes much education, much knowledge, amen, much knowledge to help you. Now, if we can be serious about that, and a
yeah.
situation where we would consider brain surgery to be a life or death situation, many of us like that concerning our vehicles. I ain't taking my vehicle to any treetop mechanic. Nah, I need
yeah,
some real mechanic that's on real steel. They're going to have some
yeah.
real back. And I buy my tires. I don't buy them off the corner. I don't buy them for somebody that got them online. No. I buy them because if they go fast, I got a warranty on them. They guarantee for a certain time. I need to know that you can back up your warranty.
Amen.
See, so all
yeah.
of these things, the reason why we got insurance is on our vehicles, on our homes, on our life. Because in the case of the worst case scenario, there's some money coming. Couple of stuff that's going to need to be covered. Amen. And so if take all those precautions. Amen. So don't tell me it doesn't take that in God. Amen.
Amen.
So
that's
it. Your salvation. We're talking about living holy. We're talking about
to the
power. The Bible said that there was a man who took a challenge to the disciples, and those disciples prayed for the child, tried to cast the demon out of the child, and this is me using my sanctified imagination. The devil said, I ain't going nowhere. And that parent went to Jesus and said, listen, now I done took my son to your disciples, and they couldn't get this devil out of my child. Now I know this devil got to go. And Jesus looked over at them. Y'all been walking with me all this time. Come on, really? Okay, devil, get out. Devil, mm-hmm. go on about business. And the man said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm so appreciative. I'm so glad you were here still. I'm glad you were still here. Thank you." And then the disciple comes to Jesus like, "We did what we did before. So why we couldn't get rid of this devil?" He said, "All devils ain't equal. Some devils can only come out through the power of fasting and prayer. That means y'all ain't fasted enough yet. You ain't prayed enough yet. Your level haven't reached high enough to overcome certain types of demons."
Yeah. Gotta keep working.
So later on, when the little witch was walking behind him, "These men be of the Most High God." Disciples said, "You know, I'm sick of you walking behind me. I'm sick of you behind me. Loose him, devil. Be gone with yourself."
Amen.
And the demonic spirit she was able to operate in was gone. To those that was making money off of her, because she was able to use the horoscope, he was able to do divination. Now the spirit is gone because they cast it out. She didn't have to be free, but because she was acknowledging who they were, they bind the very spirit that was perverted in her so much till she lost that ability of divination, because they had known now
oh, I got to have power when I'm fighting the devil. And the reason why some of us can't get rid of some things, because we ain't got power. But here's the thing. The scripture says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. See, so sometimes it ain't a matter of whether you use Jesus' name or not, whether or not you held on to the faith of what it was that you was doing. Anybody that gonna win, they got to have faith all the way to the end. We seen Kansas City quarterback came back in 1 minute and took a game that they had been losing. 1 minute. Because it ain't over till it's over. We got to learn how to fight to the bitter end.
Yeah. You know, they say God, don't give up on you, give up on yourself. That's what they say.
They don't say to those that endure to the end. It goes like that. I know we like to use that. My wife was quoting the scripture. I quoted in the very beginning. And a lot of people add to this text, but I'm going to give it to y'all again so you can go and read it.
Yes, sir.
They add to this text, but we can't add to it. We got to read it like it is. And it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. And I remember a couple of years ago I did this comparative of things that people say that sounds like it's in the Bible, but it's not. He said, I return unto heaven. Most people quote this scripture and say, prize is not given to the swift nor battle to the strong, but him to them that endures to the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read it from the New King James right now. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. That's the text. That's the text. But because we hear stuff quoted so many times, we hear people say things, and it sounds like it's in the Bible. We run with it. And that's the danger, because we pray God. Sometimes we pray to God the things that we think are in his word, but it's not. So I'm going to stop there because I don't need to preach another sermon.
Amen. Well, we're going to see if you all been fasting and praying real good. I think it's time for our Bloodhound of Scripture. What do you all think?
Go bring it. With
it. All right, let's see who's been fasting and praying. Here we go.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters.
You notice the writer here says you should never suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. And we'll hear that one more time. Amen.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters.
And the last thing he says is not to suffer as a busybody, better known as a gossip, in other men's matters. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters.
1 Peter 4:15.
And you are right, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. So she's been fasting and praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got it highlighted on my text.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
About the Bloodhound of Scripture. But we got it.
Good job.
All right.
Good job.
Well,
good job.
All right. So here's our verse that you got to sniff out by next week and be warned. It's a pepper trap.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And you notice this is about one golden spoon, and its weight is 10 shekels. And we'll hear that verse again.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And it also has, it's full of incense. The spoon is full of incense. So we know that it has to be for worship of some kind. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And that's what you got to sniff out by next week. Amen.
All right. Well, I didn't get a chance to jump in earlier, but when you was talking about the vehicles and the warranty, and I'm sure none of us are Fred, Barney, Wilma, or Betty. So I would say I would not let a jackleg do my brakes on my vehicle.
Baby, I need to know you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Now
I need my brakes to stop. I don't need no mishaps.
I learned how to work on brakes as a teenager. That's the first thing my granddaddy taught me. He used to go to junkyards and get old cars and fix them up and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaddy taught me, so my first thing to learn on a car was how to replace the brakes. And so we had the old brake shoes with the brake draw, and you had to tighten it up. And if you didn't have a tool, they'd tell you go in the house and get a butter knife and use the tip of the butter knife to tighten the brake up. So I had to learn how to snap those brakes together so they were locked together.
Mm-hmm.
Granddaddy brakes will stop on a dime. He proved it every time.
Amen. Ain't nothing worse than you trying to step on the brake and that thing ain't stopping.
Been there, done that. I'm scared. That's why we don't play with tires and brakes.
You're right.
I ain't riding around in no ball tires because I done hit them. In my Cadillac, I hit them brakes, and them tires was too low going downhill on a rainy day and slid, and it didn't want to stop. Thank God for the stop sign. Amen. Thank God wasn't nobody up there. Anything else. From that day on, I had an understanding. We get some. Somebody ain't going to get paid. Somebody ain't going to get their money right now. They're going to have to wait. We're going to put tires on this deal.
Well, speaking of brakes, that kind of reminds me of my expertise in wheelchair repair. One thing I can do is I can make a wheelchair. I can go down a hill and lock my brakes on any wheelchair that I've worked on, make a wheelchair lay rubber.
Oh.
It's going to go.
Yep. It'll. When I lock the brakes on them, I'm guaranteeing it. I guarantee you, it will lock down and it will lay rubber. When it's locked down, it ain't moving. Unlike our local hospital here, they got brakes, you lock them down, and the wheelchair still rolls.
Oh.
I told them they had to hire me to go fix it, but they don't listen to me. Oh, well.
Well, I got a couple we could check out, huh?
Yeah, Ken, you is sneaky with that that verse for yeah, you are sneaky. That is a pepper trap. Mm-hmm. But I done found you out. I done found you out.
Yep, that's the idea. Now, which verse is it exactly? That's going to be the fun part.
I know which one. I knew which one. If you can't give them a clue, you got to find the one.
Check your sense. That, your echo.
Well, the clue is it's between Genesis and Revelation.
Yeah, ATO with.
Hey, what's up, guys? How everybody doing? Y'all doing great. I know that Bible study is knocking it off, man. Y'all keeping your books, man. Keep reading. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
How's everybody? Y'all doing great today?
Doing good, ATL. God bless
you. No.
We stayed on long enough for you to say, yeah. So you,
I appreciate it, man. It's always a good thing to have the word and get the word and get Norse and get nutrition from the Norse word of God, man, because it is the only shield and only protection that we have out here these days, man. And I keep saying that to everybody. You know, we have a loving God who actually allows us every day and to be able to rejoice. I mean, I also got some sad, unfortunate news. One of my friend's mothers that I knew, that's a lot younger than me, she passed of the night, and I just found out this morning, and it's been kind of troubling, but it's, you know, I just realized that God is good, and he's good all the time. He's always good. He always is.
Amen. Well, with the six eyes ready, prayer for truth and comfort at this difficult time, and condolences for your life.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to break out, y'all guys, man. I'll be back. Y'all check me out Saturday night, man. We're going to be doing it big. We're definitely going to be rolling. Got some more comics and stuff that's coming up. We're going to really tackle a lot of the issues that's going for around the world here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. You know, we're definitely going to be tackling. All right, I'm going to be out. Y'all take care, all right?
Brother.
All right.
All right, everybody. That was ATL.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all, I love all of you. My stomach is saying something different. It ain't saying it don't love y'all. It's just saying it can't eat none of y'all. So it's saying that I need to put enough in it. And so, you know, Lady Bonnet don't mind me biting up, but she don't want me to battle right now. So,
all right now. All right now. I love it. I love it. We'll talk about that later. All right. You just enjoyed the 6 hours. We're showing the 6 hours video network. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Amen.
Amen.